Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming here live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BB and Bumba Bripper Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can yarn up strong here on our daily program, National Talk Black, voice for our people. Do utilise it. Now, pedestrian deaths are declining in other states, but sadly, it's still rising in Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. What a statement. With that, we're going to talk to Thalia Anthony, Professor of Faculty of Law, University of Technology, Sydney. Professor Thalia, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm good. I'm calling in here from Gadigal country.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you very much. And look, welcome to the program. Look, very sad statement to hear this in regard to, great that pedestrian deaths are declining in other states, but Northern Territory, they're rising, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. Now, can I ask, are you First Nation?
No, I'm from Cyprus.
Okay, well, thank you very much, my sister. As a First Nation man, as a black man, to hear such a statement, every victim last year was Aboriginal, that's concerning.
It's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy, and what I'm talking about, is that a form of murder? I don't know. Please explain.
It's really worrying because we don't know what's happening. Often it's hit and runs.
Well, there you go. Well, that in itself is a crime. That in itself is a crime.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And you know, the irony is that when you look at Aboriginal people in the Northern Territory, they're the ones being locked up for driving, whether it's unlicensed, unregistered, uninsured, all this minor stuff.
Yes.
And the government's putting all these resources into locking them up. And yet when their lives are taken on the road, there's no political message, no urgency to deal with this problem, to hold those people to account. And it just sends another message that governments and people on the roads and not caring about Aboriginal lives.
Yeah, sad. So with that, so as a professor, what's your role? Are you studying the declining but also the rising of pedestrian death, but also highlighting the point that all victims in Northern Territory were Aboriginal? So what do you do with this information as a professor?
Yeah, so for quite some years now, I've been looking at, in my research, including with a Wiradjuri professor, Juanita Sherwood, at the road deaths in the Northern Territory, but also how the police are locking up Aboriginal people on the roads. So looking at how pretty much since colonisation, the vehicle has been used to control Aboriginal people, to take their lives, including in police chases, and also to prevent them from, you know, for many years they were prevented from accessing the vehicle and moving around, and they were, you know, made to be kept on stations or missions. And so it's really interesting how the motor vehicle can become so dangerous to the lives of First Nations people and also become a tool of dispossession.
Yes.
So I what we've seen, what our research is based on with Juanita is talking to Aboriginal people in remote communities where, in fact, they drive really safely because remote communities are mostly Aboriginal people and they care for one another. That's the centre of culture to care and show respect.
And
so many of the pedestrians are not losing their lives in remote communities. They're losing their lives in the bigger towns and cities where it's mainly white drivers, where there isn't that level of respect and care. And, you know, when I heard about these most recent statistics, it reminded me of this case in 2009 where Kumanjai Ryder was killed by five white men who were driving a four-wheel drive.
Chasing,
and they
ran him down.
Sorry, what was that, Trevor?
They ran him down.
Yeah, they ran him down
lots
of other people in the Todd River camps.
Yeah,
and those white fellas did it intentionally and they didn't get a tough sentence.
Yeah, see, and that's ridiculous. And see, and we as black people, if there was a black person driving a car chasing a white person, they'd get life imprisonment.
100%. 100%. And they do. And this is the...
One rule for one, different rule for another, Professor.
Sorry?
Very sad, but one rule for one, different rule for another.
Yeah, it's two laws. One law where white people are allowed to get away with, you know, harming First Nations people, and then another law where First Nations people are made to pay for the most minor infringements.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening on the road. These are what this statistic is bearing out.
Well, we're talking about stamping at racism. Well, it seems that there's racism in the courts.
Yeah, and what I did a study with Professor Tranter, and we looked at how white drivers are sentenced and Aboriginal drivers. And when it's an Aboriginal person, the judges throw down the book. They demonise the person. They demonise their character. They disregard the fact that many Aboriginal people might be driving unlicensed, but they drive carefully and they drive for cultural obligations and to help family. So they're treated very harshly, but when it's a white driver, the person is commended for their good character, for just making a mistake.
And so the
ways in which the courts...
White privilege. Message,
that's right. And it doesn't... If you're a white person in the Northern Territory and you see the court saying, well, it doesn't matter if you hurt an Aboriginal person, you're not going to be treated as harshly, that changes the culture
it
and it legitimates the harm to Aboriginal pedestrians.
Well, to open up the conversation to our listeners just tuned in, I'm talking to Professor Thalia Anthony, Faculty of Law, University of Technology in Sydney, and the topic is pedestrian deaths are declining in other states but still rise in Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. I was going to ask you in regard to the question I was asking is, were the people, the victim, were they intoxicated? But you did state some of them were hit and run. So then we start to think they use that tool, that vehicle, as a weapon. If you hit and run, that's a crime. And if they if they hit the people who are intoxicated, well, maybe the person not knowing where they are because they're intoxicated stepped on the road wrong time, you know, wrong place, wrong time. But if they're not intoxicated, it's still a hit. If not hit and run, then, well, that's still a black person being hit by a car and caused death is caused.
100%. Because I actually spoke on ABC Darwin Radio, I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, and a few people called in and there was a consistent story, which I found interesting, and it was that people are frustrated because Aboriginal people walk onto the road arbitrarily, they said, and some of them might be intoxicated. They didn't know. You can't know for sure. So there was this story. And so in my
But I was just going to say, Professor, when driving a vehicle, you've got to have your wits about you and be alert and concentrating. A kid could run out on a road. A dog could run out on a road. You've got to be ready for the unexpected anyway.
Well, this is right. And if many people know that this happens, they should take greater care because it's not an exception. According to these people dialing in, it happens all the time. So that should mean that there's, you know, a special responsibility for people to watch out, because that is that's the culture. And in remote communities, it might happen, but people don't die because Aboriginal people in remote communities drive really slow and really safe.
Well, the sad thing is the courts are rewarding the so-called death as well.
Yeah, because the courts I think, based on my analysis of many court decisions, they're part of the problem.
Yes.
They're not dispensing justice in a way that's protecting Aboriginal lives and deterring white people from doing these kinds of things. So there's no, you know, they don't need to take care because they know there won't be repercussions.
Professor Tully, with your studies here of this this area, are you a tiger without no teeth? Where does this information go? Can we take it to the court? Can we take it to, I don't know, Black Deaths and Cutting? Can we take it to the law? How do we change this? Because every victim being Aboriginal in a pedestrian death, that's not good.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, it's political. This is about power. And unless we're, you know, trying to shape that power or change and transform and disrupt that power, nothing's going to change. So, I mean, I try to do lots of advocacy that's led by the contributions of First Nations people in the Northern Territory, like create research to support and in solidarity of what their concerns are. Because, you know, when it might just be like reported as a pedestrian statistic, but that's someone's loved one. That's their family. That's part of their culture. It ripples throughout the territory. And so trying to, I guess, create research that strengthens that, you know, that advocacy for the family is really how I try to place them and just try to build, you know, that resistance in the community, because I think at the end of the day, when we come together, we can be the power that dislodges government. And, you know, even this radio show, Trevor, like it's
a tool. It's a voice. It's a voice, exactly. And government do listen to our conversations. So thank you for calling in. But this needs to be studied on, need to be acted on. So we as black people were thinking, so you're driving along the car, coming up to pedestrian crossing, and you see white people, you slow down. You see black people, you speed up. I don't know. That's how we think then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I interviewed a few years ago homeless people in Darwin.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of them are made to... Darwin has the highest homeless rate in the whole country, and it's because there's a lot of poverty and housing issues in the Northern Territory.
Yep.
And so they told me when they come from the remote community to Darwin, they feel like they're being targeted by vehicles. They feel really unsafe living in the long grasses or on the side
there
of the
go.
Road.
Exactly.
And in their minds, and I think racism is very much about one's experience, their experience is that the drivers are treating their lives with disregard.
Well, and if a white person knows he's going to get off as well.
Because often the white system only hears white experts and puts a mirror to itself. But when we hear the voices of people on the ground who see this every day and they tell me that's what they fear, I think there must be some deliberate effort to at least scare, if not harm, homeless Aboriginal people in Darwin.
That's Professor Thalia Anthony and Faculty of Law, University Technology, Sydney. And we're talking about the topic as her studies and her survey regarding pedestrian deaths are declining in other states but still rising in the Northern Territory, where every victim last year was Aboriginal. So that in itself is concerning, it's disheartening, and it scares the hell of us as black people. That is a way of killing our people, if you look at that. I mean, every pedestrian dead happened to be black. I mean, you know, and some of them, as Professor Talia pointed out, were hit and run. So go figure. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, National Talk Black, a one-hour yarn here at Bummer Bipper, BBM 98.7 FM. Go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
was ducking when a spear went past my ear. I was the fastest runner in the lane. I was chased by wild Kodachi mane. Came a stranger's hands, a wild Kodachi mane. Yaka Kodachi la, yenta Kodachi. Wilfred Lemieux, Wilfred Strangways.
And yeah, we are the Briscoe sisters, and thank you all for coming.
It's me, Bushtaka Bunji, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yindinya Country. That's BBM, Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have yourself coolness on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, next segment, which we're yarning. Great to catch up with the boys in blue. From Everton Police, Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay and his Delhi bodyguard, Delhi Murray, followed there, PLO, Stephen Brand. A very good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, Trevor.
All right, start with you, brother Steve. Who your mob? Where you from?
Proud Dittabal warrior from the Cardinal Ravenside district. Grew up in Tully. So, yeah, what is town, Australia.
Beautiful, brother. Good footprint.
Great.
And Senior Sergeant Glenn Delay, where do you stem from, brother?
Yeah,
I always wanted to know that.
I'm a Tablelands boy.
Yeah, so hillbilly boy.
Yep, far northern. And,
and St. Augustine's, eh?
Ex-St. Augustine's boy. That's correct. I don't know whether I need to mention that.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. We can. So Bulldogs used to kick your butts many times.
I remember a few swimming carnivals you lost there, but anyway, we'll have that chat later.
Blackfellas can't swim. And there's crocodile shark and chasing him. All right, good to see you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Here we are, 2023. Is this our first program?
This is our first one.
Yep.
For 2023. Yep. Welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome back to Deadly.
Yeah.
Start of 2023, we're going to just touch base in regard to, 2022, the year that was, new year, clean slate. Let's make it good. So some messages out there that you want to push out there, gentlemen?
Yeah, look, I know our district officer, his priorities are quite clear for this year, 2023, reducing road trauma. Okay, so we have had already some fatals on our roads, which we want to certainly keep those numbers down.
I think between Christmas and New Year was 10...
Yeah,
ten fatalities.
Yeah, and look, those public holidays seem to always attract a number of fatals and high volume of traffic crashes, purely because there's more people on the roads, you know. But that's a tragic time for anyone to lose a family member.
And condolences to the families that lost loved ones, you know. But we need to be safe. We need to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yep. Second priority for him is domestic violence. That's something that should always be in the back of our minds.
Yes.
I think that's. You know, that's it requires a whole of community response.
Mm.
If we know someone that may be subjected to domestic violence or a perpetrator, we can reach out, especially as family, and help those people, whether it's an aggrieved that needs shelter and protection.
Sure.
Or a respondent that may need someone just to have that chat with them and say, mate, I don't think this is the right way to treat your partner. So. You know, those conversations should be happening every day in families, particularly around children, because we don't want those children to age and think that behaviour is acceptable in a relationship.
And the sad thing is it's 80%, 90% males being the culprit, committing that crime. And, to me, and as a male, and a man, and been married 32-odd years, you got no right to touch that woman.
Yeah, they're shameful figures, you know, and not anything that any male's proud of. And, when we look at domestic violence, it's, it's something that impacts the community, right to our grassroots. So, that work's never, ever going to be undone. We will never get to the bottom of our push to rid our society of domestic violence. Mm. We've got to also remember that does include our elder abuse.
Yes,
you know,
thank you. And that's all types of abuse, financial, physical, mental, emotional, all the above.
Absolutely, yep. And remember now we've got coercive control. So, that's the hidden control in the background of someone pretty well controlling most aspects of someone else's life.
Yes.
So, that is one of his priorities, and the third one that he's raised is our youth property crime. That's not isolated to the far north here. You know, we're seeing pockets of that as an issue throughout this country. So, that's another difficult one to deal with, because we don't want our children starting off their lives at a very young age with criminal records.
Yes.
And
exactly.
And sometimes their behaviours can impact whole of communities. So, very good priorities to have for us up in the far north.
Yep.
And
now you mentioned youth crime. That is still a big problem here in far north, but across the nation, if not across the world. But you guys in blue can only do what you can do in regards to the rules and regulations. And if there's got to be some changes made here, it's got to come from Parliament, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, Parliament definitely give us our toolbox of how we manage, when we bring people before justice.
Mm.
But our youth crime problem It is another issue like domestic violence where it's a whole of community problem.
Yes.
You know, we there's a number of departments that all have engagement in the issues and are all working tirelessly to try and prevent the youth crime issues.
Sure.
But this also extends out to our family. I know we've spoken on this program previously about positive mentors.
Yes.
You know, getting kids back to country, having other interests other than hanging around at night time when they may get up to mischief. You know, I know we had one program here where we know where your children are.
Yeah, sure, exactly. You know, we spoke about that. Yeah, yes.
And who they're hanging around. You know, that's sometimes important. And if you notice that one of your children's knocking around with a group that may be undesirable, they don't sort of have the values that they should have. You know, at a very young age, it's probably time to have a conversation with that child. And
exactly, we lay down with dogs, you wake up with fleas.
Yeah, yeah, you know? And just point them in the right direction. You know, we can't sort of wait till they start committing these offences.
Sure.
It becomes much more harder.
And look, the whole community, black and white, are screaming out about sick and tired, or being sick and tired, sick and tired of the crime. You know, but you guys do your job. You may catch the culprits, but you take them to court. But because of rules and regulation, and the judges run by those rules and regulations as well, okay, you've been reprimanded, I'll let you go.
Yeah.
And the kids know that.
And some of these...
So they commit the crime again.
Like some of these young offenders, once they've been through the court process, one, they know that police can't pursue. Yeah. Secondly, they know that these detention centres in Brisbane and Townsville are both at capacity.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know.
And the answer is not building more prisons, but at the same time, what do we do? I mean, it costs about $100,000 to have one person in jail for 12 months. Well, there's a $100,000 you can put into a program for that individual to help them get a better life or vision for a good life, yeah?
Yeah, and look, we do talk a lot about early intervention,
yeah.
Which is highly important, preventing these children from getting into engaging in these activities in the first place. But that does really start right at that family level, that early intervention.
It does.
Having those conversations with children and, you know, raising them to have respect for not only other people's property and other people, but for respect for themselves.
Exactly. And the sad thing we've said before, well, sometimes in some situations, kids out there having kids. Some people have children, but care factor zero because they're young themselves, so they don't have the life skills in bringing a child in this life and raising a child, you know what I mean? And so the child then feels unloved, unwanted, you know, care factor zero, so they go ahead with their own life and make their own decisions, which is bad decisions a lot of times, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And I think, you know, that may be somewhere to start is if a child has, you know, or a young person has had a child, you know, that some of those responsibilities remain with that young person, with the parenting of that child. A lot of the time that child may want to give that child off to someone else to raise.
Yeah, yeah. And Blackfellow Way, they do that a lot, actually. Senior Sergeant, let me ask you a question in regard to when you police officers are talking to youth or correcting youth or catching a culprit for the third, fourth time, do you have conversation with parents?
Yeah, look, we have like a support network we can engage their parents with. A lot of the time, you know, disadvantaged families may have issues with, it may only be, you know, it may be a simple thing as their home finances are an issue, maybe homelessness. You know, there could be alcohol abuse, drug abuse, domestic violence.
Yeah.
So there's a number
of... The parents are not in a good place.
That's right. So there's a number of different agencies we can refer the parents to so that they can get that assistance.
That's all you can do.
To try and make it a better home life for that child. So, you know, we do engage the parents. We do speak with them. A lot of the time, they're at a position of despair themselves.
Sure. It falls on deaf ears, of course.
And it becomes difficult for them. Or look, sometimes some of them parents condone the actions of their children, so that you know that they don't see it as a big problem. And
well, they'll probably get benefits from that crime.
Yeah, and look, that becomes a bigger problem again for us because we
double whammy, bammy.
Yeah, we lack the person that we need to engage with to try and get that child to, you know, correct their behaviours.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where we would lean on other agencies, whether it's child safety or youth justice. You know, in their areas with their contact with the child, hopefully that they can engage.
Yeah. To our deadly listeners out there, just tuned in, Trinity Trev here with National Talk Black, having a deadly yarn with the boys in blue, Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy and PLO Stephen Grant, and the segment which we're yarning. We're first one back for 2023, and we're just touching base and talking about traffic in regard to fatalities we've had over the festive season. Very sad. DVO, youth crime, just touching base in regard to the conversations there, but we are all in this together. We need to keep our community safe, and it is a team effort, you know. Sometimes I feel as though that people jump up and down when they're pulled over by the police or been approached by the police. But if you're doing wrong, then you're at fault. You're pointing fingers, three fingers pointing back at you, you know, and we're here to keep us safe and to support the and protect the people in the community. But it's a hard slug sometimes, isn't it? How are we going in regarding recruiting? Has more police come on board for 2023, or where are we at with that?
Look, our recruiting will never end. Me and Steve have done a training course.
You wear four hats each, do you?
Nearly, yeah. So me and Steve have just been through our training to become recruitment officers at the end of 2022.
Oh, rightio.
Yeah.
So you're a PLO, become a recruit officer. Mm. Four PLOs?
For anyone.
Yeah.
For officers to be, people who become officers?
Correct. So
black and white, Steve?
Correct. So I don't remember the name of the course that's currently run at TAFE this year, but it's sort of like a justice entry program.
Sure.
That will be commencing, so you can do...
But that's not only for the hat that you wear as a PLO.
No, that could be for...
Anybody going to become a police officer?
Yeah, they can do that mainstream course here in Cairns.
And you're on the committee there?
Myself and...
And Senior Glenn Deloy.
We went to the induction.
Oh, good.
Last year, which was a good turnout from across the board.
And you got some people who got passions about their career. Mm. So you'd find people who've got a passion to become a police officer.
Yeah.
They'd be knocking at the door.
But these courses are also good for people who don't know what they want to do.
You know, okay.
So they can just
give an option.
Test the water, see whether they think this is the career path that they want to take, you know. But the beauty of that, the program that me and Steve went to the opening of, I mean, that was an Indigenous targeted program.
Yes.
And look, there's no question that, all law enforcement needs more Indigenous Australians, First Nations, in their ranks.
Yes.
And, and this is a great opportunity for them to become involved, learn what it's about, and make that decision whether it's a career path that they do want to take, you know.
Yeah.
And, certainly if you'd been through that course and you did want to progress into the Queensland Police Service, we would absolutely be...
Welcome you.
We will be knocking on your door.
Exactly.
And it's not also the QPS, it's also the AFP. They've come on board in regards to this partnership with Queensland.
So the Australian Federal Police.
That's correct. They've come
on
board.
So there's different platforms there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Quickly explain that.
Steve, I wasn't going to mention that because I'm competing against other agencies here, so I'm plugging the Queensland Police Service.
Yeah, but there you go.
It was. Look,
QPS, represent.
Yeah. So, the course, even if you wanted to get into marine parks, if you wanted to get into quarantine, you wanted to get into customs, this course actually gave you, all of those skills that would deal with legislation and enforcement and those types of career paths, you know, including the
10 different avenues there, but you're only looking at one avenue.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay, as a QPS man.
Being selfish.
Oh, there it is. Look, a beautiful yarn, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Touch base. So, a message to everybody out there who are tuned in to National Talk Black. Look, no matter what state or territory, it's about being safe, keeping safe, and keeping everybody safe. Abide by the rules. I mean, I always say life is simple, people complicate it. And let's respect the boys and girls in blue. They're here to protect and serve. But we all need to do our bit in regarding making that happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you see a young person or someone commit crime or doing something right, hey, not a good idea. Or whatever, you try and deter them from doing it, you know. Especially our young ones regarding the crime rate. But thank you for the yarn.
Yep.
We'll keep the yarns going strong here on Which Way Yarning. And look, proudly sponsored by Puccone, Edmonton, Brisbane. And they give us a box of fruit here at Bummer Bibber Media. And healthy living, healthy lifestyle. Chewing a banana or an apple rather than a Mars bar or picnic. Anyway, guys, talk soon. All the best.
Thank you.
Yarn soon, eh? Gotcha. Happy 23.
Yep.
Thanks, Trev.
To Deadly. Beautiful yarn with the boys in blue, Which Way Yarning, proud Deadly segment. Been wonderful, but it was under 7 odd years, you know. Had a little break there, but we're back now and kicking goals with it. And look, it's a fantastic tool vehicle. We can have a yard and we can find out in regard to how do we operate and how do we converse and how do we work with the police, whether it be Queensland Police, New South Wales Police, whatever, in regard to keeping us all safe. That's what it's all about. Have you seen Yanup Strong? Added the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trevor and Mike here, taking you all the way through to 12 noon Queensland time. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Give us a call, have you say 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bulldog and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. The National Coalition on Child Safety and Wellbeing the release of Action Plan, Safe and Supported, the National Framework of Protecting Australia's Children, and the National Coalition on Child Safety and Wellbeing welcomes the release of action plans to put into effect, Safe and Supported, the National Framework for Protecting Australia's Children 2021 right through to 2031, and supporting children, young people and families to thrive so all children and young people are kept safe and out of care and protection systems is vital for them and for their health and well-being of our communities. Children thrive when they and their families are supported by strong services, coordinated systems and a society that values them. The safety and well-being of our children should be Australia's most compelling national priority. Yet despite the decade of concerted effort to advance child safety, thousands of Australian children remain subject to abuse, violence and neglect, is the words there from Jamie Crosby, convener of the National Coalition on Child Safety and Wellbeing. And we have Jamie on the line. We're going to have a chat with him. Jamie, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Trevor, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. Thank you very much. Where are you based, Jamie?
I'm down in Canberra.
Down in Canberra. Cold Canberra. I'm in Cairns, far north Queensland, hillbilly up north, Jamie.
Lovely weather up that way, particularly when the wet's gone through.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Look, thank you for coming to the program. Very important conversation. But, look, great news regarding National Coalition on Child Safety and Wellbeing and Safe and Supported, the National Framework for Protecting Australia's Children. This is a thumbs up. And look, the children are our future. Very important to this world. So we need to do our bit, take community to raise a child, yes?
Certainly, Trevor. And first and foremost, good afternoon to your listeners. Mm. And if I could just take the opportunity to acknowledge the traditional custodians and the elders of the community in which the radio and your listeners are based, and extend my respects to elders, past and present. And hello from Ngunnawal country down Canberra, southern New South Wales way.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Safe and Supported has been released by the Australian government as a 10-year strategy to make greater effort in reducing the rates of children involved in the care and protection system. Mm. And that's particularly important for First Nations communities and children. I think it's a pretty disturbing statistic that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people make up about 5% of Australia's childhood population.
Yes.
Yet they represent 40-odd percent of children and young people involved in the statutory care and protection system, which is pretty heart-wrenching statistic, that one. So what the framework hopes to do over the next 10 years is garner everyone's efforts to do a better job about supporting children, families and communities, mm-hmm. to make sure that we're all doing our part. It does take a community,
yes.
governments, First Nations organisations, communities, non-Indigenous organisations to contribute to the safety and well-being of children across the country, and Safe and Supported, hopefully, will do a better job than that than we've done in the past.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, we're all in this together, and we need to do what we can in regarding supporting that. Let me ask a question regarding the support of the parents in their situation. Is that on the table as well, Jamie?
That will come up in different initiatives under the action plan. So mm-hmm. one of the things in particular where I think that is relevant to First Nations communities is commitments by governments to ensure that there is the growth and development of the Aboriginal community controlled sector, mm-hmm. so that there is more responsibility and more money going directly into Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations to deliver services at a community level to families, children and young people. Mm-hmm. And that will include our organisations like SNAKE, the National Voice for Our Children,
yes.
and the Aboriginal Leadership Group, working at a community level, talking to elders, talking to adult family members about the best ways in which services can support them
mm-hmm.
to be the best people they want to be and raise their jajums in a great way that lets them go off and do whatever it is they want to do in life.
Mm.
And that connection to culture, particularly for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people, and the engagement of community leaders and parents within community is really important to ensuring that the supports and responses that are designed for the benefit actually work better than they have up until this point.
A goal would be to get the children back with parents down the future?
Absolutely. That statistic that I referenced earlier,
yes.
Where we've got 46% of the number of people in statutory systems being of First Nations descent is appalling. Mm. Part of what the framework does is commit governments, Aboriginal leaders and the non-government sector, which is where I work, to work together to drive down those numbers. So connection to family, connection to culture is what we should be focused on. The best place for a young Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person is in their family, where they are safe, where they are supported, where there's a strong connection to community and a real understanding of their culture and history. And everyone has a role in creating that environment, particularly non-Indigenous organisations like the organisations that I work for.
Yeah, fantastic. So it is a community investment as such, and like they're precious cargo. They are our future, you know, black and white, all our children are, and we all need to do our bit and have our hat and ring, so to speak, don't we?
We do, and one of the really positive things about the release of the action plans yesterday is that it's a written agreement that's out in the sunshine. Everyone can have a look at it. Everyone can have a look at the commitments that governments and organisations have made.
Mm.
And there's a really strong reporting element to what it is. So we all know that sometimes these big ticket issues and national frameworks and reports can be bits of paper that sometimes,
yes,
unfortunately, left on the shelf. But
in the intro?
One of those opportunities where it's out in the public eye. Everyone's going to report on what it is they're doing. I would expect that we're helping
out
for the efforts that we make.
Mm, fantastic. Jamie, look, thank you very much for the yarn. Please do keep in touch. Very important tool this is in regarding our children. So National Talk Black is here for you as well. Thank you very much, Jamie. All the best to you, your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Cheers, mate. See you, Trevor.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Jamie Crosby, his name is, convener of the National Coalition on Child Safety and Wellbeing. And it's about supporting children, young people and families to thrive, so all children and young people are kept safe and out of the care and protection system, which is vital and for them and for the health and wellbeing of our communities. Have you saying yarn up strong? There's 6 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
When I try to get you off my mind, I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that I really, really like, and I can't control. When I try to get you off my mind, I can't seem to fight these feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that
mother, 'cause you know how we do, yeah.
Just tell them don't worry about us, 'cause we got that vibe and we got that
okay,
trust.
Okay, okay, yeah, you give me that vibe, yeah. And it's enough to get higher. Yeah. So I'ma tell them don't worry about us, 'cause we got that vibe and we got that trust, yeah. You know you the one, yeah, you got it all. Don't need to meet me outside, I'll be at the door. We mata cruz to the night, sit up city lights. Like I'm diamond, you are why you
when
say
I
so bright,
try to get
yeah.
you off my mind. These feelings I've been trying to hide. I get high just from the thought of you, an addiction that I really, really like, and yeah. I can't control.
I'ma ring your line like, baby, what you tryna do? I'ma pick you up and in my Ranger we'll cruise. Let's go, Sister Fefe is the name. I'll be kicking back, I ain't playing no games. But hold up, one sec, let me tell you something quick. That first little vest, yeah, I know it was sick. What I'm really tryna do is bring you over to the bay. We can party all night, sleep all day. But see, if you want, we can have it your way. Take a walk down the beach and just smile all day. We'll sit next to a brewery that'll keep us warm while we dance the night away and listen to this song. Put your hands up on.
Yeah, Too Deadly Off My Mind. It's a Fafai, and it's also featuring Normie J here on Your Daily Program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time where Trinity Trevor signs off for today's program. Thank you very much for your company, Mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416.